please turn to hymn number 65, Before Jehovah's Awesome Throne, and stand for the call to worship from Psalm 150.
Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty expanse. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with harp and lyre. Praise Him with timbrel and dancing. Praise Him with stringed instruments and pipe. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And let us pray. Our great God in heaven, You have commanded us to seek Your face. As we see the light of this morning, we ask as we bow before You that You would lift upon us the light of Your countenance and shine into our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of Your glory in the face of our Lord Jesus. In His merits alone, we seek acceptance, and in His name, we offer up our praise and our petitions. We ask that You would bless Your people this day. May our worship be full of faith and fervency as Your Holy Spirit is poured out upon us and upon every assembly of Your people gathered this day, no matter where they may be. We ask that Your preached word would alarm those who are careless or indifferent, that it would subdue those who are stubborn. We ask that hearts would be converted, that every stony heart be removed and replaced with a heart of flesh. For You are the Lord who is exalted, dwelling on high, just and righteous. You are a wealth of salvation and wisdom and knowledge, and our rock and our Redeemer. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you. our responsive reading, Psalm 14. The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God. They are corrupt. They have committed abominable deeds. There is no one who does good."
The Lord has looked down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God.
They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one.
Do all the workers of wickedness not know, who eat up my people as they eat bread, and do not call upon the Lord?
There they are in great dread, for God is with the righteous generation. Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion when the Lord restores his captive people.
Jacob will rejoice. Israel will be glad.
Amen.
You may be seated. At this time, our Lord,
deacons will come forward and receive the Lord's tithes and our offerings. Please stand. Almighty God, we do thank you for your steadfast faithfulness through the past week and indeed through the months and years. You have provided every need. We bless your holy name. We pray that you would use these tithes and offering to the furtherance of your kingdom in this world, that all may know the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Oh God, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. As brothers and sisters in the Lord, let us join together and confess publicly this ancient creed. Just think over the years, I think this goes back to the 300s, I believe. Just think how many of the Lord's people have recited this. It is an awesome thing to gather together with brothers and sisters and proclaim our faith. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. The third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy, catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Seated.
It is good to have everybody here this morning, kind of a dreary day, and it feels like frozen precipitation to me. I don't know about y'all. Have a little bit of snow, that wouldn't be bad, would it? A couple of inches, yes, no? 3 inches is perfect. If you look in the back of your bulletins, you will find this week's Bible readings for your convenience. And I commend that to you as an opportunity for you to take a little bit of time through the course of each and every day to submit yourself to the authority of the Word of God. We've got the broader whole schedule if you want it, or we can send you the electronic version so you can go along with it. If you're not currently using something to read Scripture this year, let me encourage you to make a point of doing that starting today. It'd be a great day to start keeping yourself aware of the truth and the life that's revealed for us through the will of the Lord God. The revealed will of God is what Scripture certainly is. And so I would commend that to you for your edification and for your glorifying God with your life. Also, a time of prayer that the Lord God gives to us is a very special time, a very special privilege, because the Word tells us that only those who know Christ and who belong to Christ who have received Christ as their Savior are the ones that the Lord God hears because of Christ's mediation in behalf of the ones that are praying. It's a great privilege that the Lord allows me to stand up here before you this morning to lead us in prayer to the Lord God through the temple that's in Jerusalem that will one day descend on earth according to Scripture. We'll be able to see it again and to be involved in it, which is pretty exciting thinking about things that are going on today and what that would mean for us, how our lives would change drastically as that took place. Just as true as we're going to see in Exodus about the children of Israel's lives drastically changing as the Lord God takes them out of Egypt and out of bondage and death, which is a representation of what he does for us in salvation. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. And as the Lord encourages you to listen and to be united to the power of the Holy Spirit, may we again agree with one another as the Lord leads us to pray this morning. Let's pray. Father, as we bow to you, we give you thanks for your love and for your faithfulness. Father, we are here because we have declared in our own hearts and minds and our actions that we belong to you. And we belong to you not because of anything we have done, but because of your condescension in our lives. You have made yourself known to us. And because of your reckoning with the opportunity that gives us to know that we need you through Christ because of our sinfulness, we bow before you with humble adoration and thanksgiving and praise. We also, Lord God, come to you as Jesus taught his disciples to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Almighty God, we do lift you up. Honor, glorify, and magnify you as our God, extolling you for all your goodness and your limitless power, your might, your wisdom, your control of all things as creator of everything that we see and things that we have yet to see. That we, Father, are able to see you in your word, but then to experience you with our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, Father, we praise you for all of the things that make it possible for us to know you, so that you will be known and to know that we are known by you. We give you thanks for this day. And we bow before you, Father, with a desire that your will be done here on earth as it has been done in heaven. And to know full well, Lord God, as we continue to lift you up to glorify and honor you, that you know what's best for us all. That you love us individually, that you have individually chosen us to be yours. We have responded, Father, through the work of the Holy Spirit within our hearts, recognizing, Lord God, that it is you who are in control. You're in control of all nations, of all peoples, for all tribes and for all languages. And Lord God, we also know that as you have made your kingdom yours, that the things that separate us, the very, very things, Father, that you have done to free us from the dominion of death, we can rest with assurance that we are no longer under the bondage of sin and death. Though we still have one foot, Father, in the world, we are already in the other side, knowing, Father, that our hearts and our lives and our eternal life rest with Christ, and that one day we will see you face to face, that be according to your will. And so, Lord God, we indeed ask to make us willing participants in the things that you place within the course of our life each and every day. Things, Father, that we don't understand, things we wish we didn't have to deal with, things that are just flat inconvenient or frustrating, or even things that cause us anger and maybe even fear. And yet, Lord God, we say that you are our God, that you love us with an everlasting love, and that nothing touches us that you haven't determined it to do, and it's for our good and for your glory. So, Father, as we seek to ask for you the things, Father, in our hearts and our lives that we would ask that you would intervene, we place all that, Father, before you as your will. You also promise to not have us have to go through anything that we can't handle or that we can't deal with. For your grace, Father, you tell us is sufficient. And so, Lord God, as we bow before you this day, we would ask that you would be with our loved ones who are facing particular issues of affliction or of distress, or folks, Father, in our lives that we love, that are near and dear to us, that are dealing with some pretty tough situations, as we would observe. And we would ask, Father, first of all, for your healing hand for those who are ill, that you'd heal them now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that you are the great physician and you can do all things. We also know, Lord God, that as you do so, that we would ask not just to have their life improved or their quality of life enhanced, but that your healing would bring them to a place of further service to you. We also know, Lord God, that we go through these things according to your good pleasure. And so we ask for your mercy and grace as they convalesce or they are healed, or they are continued to be harassed by the affliction. We pray the same, Father, for us and our folk who are dealing with particular situations, whether at work or with relationships, that you, Father, would fill them with the power of your Spirit and the wisdom that can come from you as we ask. For you promise to tell us, as you tell us in your word, that if we lack wisdom, we are to ask for it and not doubt. So, Lord, as we look around our lives and as we see the things that we see happening and sometimes wonder and doubt why and for what reason these things are happening, Lord God, we commend ourselves to you and to know, Lord God, that you are in control. That nothing happens that you haven't determined or that you have not planned, and that your perspective of what's happening and what's going on is what matters. You have told us, Father, in your word, the outcome of all of these things, and that we're in a very special time in the history of the world. And that we recognize that and we realize that, and Father, the means with which you've given to us to deal with that is coming straight to you, asking for your help and your encouragement, your protection, and of course, certainly again, your wisdom and understanding. We also would pray, Lord God, that you would be with the leadership of our country, that you would turn them back to you, that they would begin to fear you more than they fear losing their position or their place of power, that you would raise up people, Father, that are committed to serve the people in the government, whether it be local, statewide, or national, instead of ruling or lording it over. And so, Father, we would ask for you to raise up leadership that is no longer afraid to call you its God, that you'd have mercy upon us, though we don't deserve it, for you have blessed our country, Father, for so many years in so many ways that we have not only taken for granted, but, Father, we have always also squandered, that we have used in a source of control over other countries around us. And we also then, Father, look at our own lives, and we are as guilty as we say our leadership is in terms of its integrity and its faithfulness to you. And that we, Father, must indeed reckon with the reality that we are supposed to no longer be slaves to sin, yet, Father, we still sin. We are thankful, Father, for your Spirit that's within us that convicts us of the sin that we have. And so, Father, I would ask that you'd hear us now as we silently confess our sins to you. Father, we bow and honor and again thanksgiving to you for being our God who tells us that you are the faithful one, that you will forgive our sins if we confess them, that you would place them as far as the east is from the west, and that you would remember them no more. Only the God of creation can do things of such nature. To be able to handle and to deal with a rebellious people, the consistency and the faithfulness of your love is outstanding and amazing and is awesome. We give you thanks for your love, Father, and for your patience with us, your fickle people. Father, we ask that as we continue to bow before you this morning, that we are a people who need protection from the world and the flesh and the devil. For truly, Lord God, we are in a spiritual battle, and the battle continues to become more and more apparent, and the skirmishes become more and more frequent, and the severity of the evil that is tromping around our communities is becoming more and more evident. And so, Lord, we again place our hands to you, before you, and with you, praying, Father, for your protection and care over those who would cause distress, who would seek to destroy our life, or to indeed cause us to sin. And so, Father, we commend ourselves with the understanding that you have given us the means with which to fight this spiritual battle, that we would appropriate the spiritual tools given to us, as you mentioned in Ephesians 6, that we are mindful, Father, of our place in the world, that we don't belong here, that we shouldn't be satisfied here, and we look further, Father, for the fulfillment of taking us into the promised land. And so, Lord, here we are, your people, praising your name, giving you thanks, asking you for things. Father, you tell us you want to hear us from us to ask for, with the expectation, the hope, and the excitement that you will honor and answer each of our prayers. For, Father, you have made us part of yours, and you have put us in your kingdom, and that kingdom is forever and forever. And we pray these things with thanksgiving and praise to you. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen. And amen. You know, as we continue to worship and prepare to hear the Word of God this morning, turn with me and let's stand and sing hymn number 30, Our God, Our Help in Ages Past, hymn number 30. Thank you. You may be seated, and once you are down and still, should I say comfortable? Don't get too comfortable. Turn with me in your copy of the Word of God to the book of Exodus. We're in that place in our readings, and we're also in Mark. And again, I've mentioned this before, one of the things that I've really enjoyed about this particular schedule that we've been using for the number of years is the where they put the readings together with the Old and the New Testament. And the interesting thing as we look at these verses this morning in chapter 5 and 6 of Exodus is that over in Mark, Christ is talking about the final judgment and when he's coming back again, and enlivening and inaugurating the fulfillment of the new covenant. And what we see here in Exodus, we have the enlivening and the fulfillment of the old covenant with respect to the burgeoning nation of Israel that was being birthed in Exodus. Started off with Abraham, went from Abraham to Jacob, went from Jacob to Israel, to Egypt. They were in Egypt for supposedly around 400 years, incubating in that place in time for the Lord God to then bring them out as a nation. But he did so under the course of the relationship that he had with his covenant promises. Now, also within the course of these verses that we're going to see, this historical account, is the spiritual reality of the bondage of sin and death and what it means to be under that slavery, that bondage. One of the things that you know that the world hates is the Word of God, so that anything that the world, the flesh, and the devil can do to distract from the importance of the things that are carried on in Scripture, that tell us in Scripture, you know are important. If there's not anything that's more, can be more flash triggered, as we call it today, is words like slavery and reparations and transgender and all of these things that make the culture sit up and listen and respond to almost like a you know, when you hit your knee, your funny bone, and you just respond, you just react to it. And in reality, what's really behind these things are a very vital and an important issue about the kingdom of Almighty God. And we're going to look at that this morning with this understanding that because of who Christ's people are, they don't have to make bricks anymore. Okay? So let's read. We're going to look at Exodus 5 and 6. And this is a pretty long passage, but it's a narrative. And it's the best way to keep things in context with what we're talking about in terms of this understanding of what we've really been freed from. Now, we're also going to look at the reality that Scripture is going to tell us in the New Testament that you're going to serve somebody. You're going to be under slavery in some way as a created being. God is our God. He is the Father of all his people, and we are to be in obedience to him. Paul calls it being a slave to righteousness and obedience. And you begin to look at the importance of what it means for us to be free from the bondage of sin and death is what was happening metaphorically with the children of Israel. So here it is. This is God's holy and his inerrant word. And afterwards Moses and Aaron came and said to Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, that they may celebrate a feast to me in the wilderness." But Pharaoh said, "Who is this Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and besides, I will not let Israel go." And then they said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go at 3 days' journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Otherwise, he will fall upon us with pestilence and with the sword." Do you hear that? But the king of Egypt said to them, Moses and Aaron, "Why do you draw the people away from their work? Get back to your labors." Again, Pharaoh said, "Look, the people of the land are now many, and you would have them cease from their labors?" So the same day Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters over the people of their foremen, saying, "You are no longer to give the people straw to make bricks as previously, Let them go and gather straw for themselves, but the quota of bricks will not, were making previously, you shall impose on them. You are not to reduce any of it, because they are lazy. Therefore they cry out, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let the labor be heavier on these on the men, and let them work at it so that they will pay no attention to these false words. So the taskmasters of the people and the foremen went out and spoke to the people, saying, thus says Pharaoh, I am not going to give you any straw. You go and get straw for yourselves and whatever you find it, but none of your labor will be reduced. So the people scattered through all the land of Egypt to gather stubble for straw. The taskmasters pressed them, saying, complete your work quota, your daily amount, just as you have been as if you had straw. Moreover, the foremen of the sons of Israel, whom Pharaoh's taskmaster set over them, were beaten and were asked, why are you not completing your required amount either yesterday or today in making brick as previously? Then the foremen, some of the men of Israel, came and cried out to Pharaoh, saying, why do you deal with us this way? There is no straw given to your servants, yet they keep saying to us, make bricks. And behold, your servants are being beaten, but it is the fault of your own people. But he said, you are lazy, very lazy. Therefore you say, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. So go now and work, for you will be given no straw, yet you must deliver the quota of bricks. The foremen of the sons of Israel saw that they were in trouble because they were told, you must not reduce the daily amount of bricks. When they left Pharaoh's presence, they met Moses and Aaron, and they were waiting for them. And they said to them, may the Lord look upon you and judge you, for you have made us odious in Pharaoh's sight and in the sight of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to kill us. But then Moses returned to the Lord and said, O Lord, why have you brought harm to this people? Why do you ever send me? Why, ever since I came to Pharaoh to speak to your name, he has done harm to this people, and you have not delivered your people at all. Then the Lord said to Moses, now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh, for under compulsion he will let you go, let them go, and under compulsion he will drive them out of this land. God spoke further to Moses and said to them, I am the Lord, and I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as Lord Almighty, but by my name Lord or Yahweh, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan and the land in which they sojourned. Furthermore, I have heard the groaning of the sons of Israel because of the Egyptians are holding them in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Say therefore to the sons of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from their bondage. I will also redeem you from an outstretched arm and with great judgments. Then I will take you from my people. I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you from under the burden of the Egyptians. I will bring you to the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give to you for possession. I am the Lord. So Moses spoke thus to the sons of Israel, but they did not listen to Moses on account of their despondency and cruel bondage. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word to us this morning. Now, dear ones, there is a lot of parallels today in our relationship with the world, the flesh, and the devil that was going on with the children of Israel as they are being birthed into the nation. And this is we don't belong here, just like the children of Israel didn't belong in Egypt. They were there because that's where the Lord God placed them, to incubate them into his people, which is what indeed he did. Also notice that every time that the that God has a desire to do what he is going to do, two things happen. He's going to do it regardless of whether you like it or not. The other thing is that he's going to fulfill what he has promised to do, and it's going to be better than you can possibly think or imagine. So let's think about the children of Israel after they were into the land of Israel. Oh, let's just do it even earlier than that. When they were leaving Egypt and they plundered Egypt, that word in the original is the word plundered. In other words, they took great riches with them when they left. So that the issue then becomes, well, now, why is that so important for me to hear what's happening here so far back? And how does that relate to how I live my life in the course of today, the things that are happening and are going on today? Well, first of all, the children of Israel didn't realize that they didn't have to make bricks anymore because they were still scared of the world that they were living in. They didn't believe God because of the cruelty that they were under. The bondage of sin and death, which is what Egypt represented to them as God's people. They were experiencing that. And as God started working in their life, it got worse. If it could get worse. And in your life, dear one, don't ever say, well, it can't get any worse. Right? That's like saying, I ain't never going to do this again. Right? Don't never say never, and don't ever say it can't get any worse. Because guess what? My father used to say, I get so tired of people saying, well, just cheer up, things will be better. I cheered up, and things... No, I said that wrong. Cheer up, things could be worse. And he said, I cheered up, and they were. So here are the children of Israel under this bondage, crying out to God. God answered them, and he's releasing them from that bondage. He's getting them out from under. Not only that, because of the promises that he made, they're going to be loved, taken care of, and placed in the new land where they belong. Do you know what that represents? Heaven to us now. Understand, right? So that when I look at my life and I look at the things that are going on today and I look around, and are we feeling affliction that the children, like the children of Israel did? Because if you are desirous to hear what God says, the world and the flesh and the devil is going to afflict you because, one, just like Pharaoh, I don't believe, where is God? I don't believe there's a God. Where is he? The other thing is they're going to scare you to death. If you don't do this, you're going to lose your job. Sound familiar? No shot, no job. That's Pharaoh. So who's going to rescue me from this? Can I be rescued from this? And the answer is, you already have been. Just like the children of Israel. And the reality of that is I don't have to make bricks anymore. I don't have to do what the world says in order for me to get along with it. That sound familiar? I don't have to approve of what they approve of. I don't have to participate in things that they participate in. I don't have to do the things that they say is what I should be doing in order to get along. In other words, making bricks. I don't know how much YouTube stuff you're aware of, or the different YouTubers and all this stuff. Of course, there's a whole industry now with YouTubers and people trying to make money off YouTube and stuff. And there's a conservative, independent journalist that are trying to get established and everything. And there's a big deal going on with one of them right now that disappointed me so bad, even though I didn't think I'd ever get disappointed again. In terms of them doing exactly the things that we look at the liberal media mind, doing exactly the same thing, but they were conservative. So because they're conservative, then we let that slide? lying, lack of integrity, stealing, plagiarizing, misrepresentation for millions of dollars. So what's the difference? Same brick, right? You mix it all together and it looks exactly the same. The bondage, the sweat and the blood, in order to be appropriate and to be approved by Pharaoh. Well, I don't want to live that way. Do you want to live that way? Do you really want to live that way? We're born under that burden, just like the children of Israel were born into Egypt. They were born that way. They were born there, and it took God to get them out of it. And God did it. Even when the children of Israel didn't even understand and still didn't want to mess with it, right? What does it say? Look at the last verse we read. So Moses spoke thus to the sons of Israel, but they did not listen to Moses on account of their despondency and their cruel bondage. In other words, God had to show them that he was serious. Salvation is God displaying the reality that he is serious. Let's look at a couple of New Testament passages. Let's look at Romans 6:15 for just a second. If there's anything the world is going to tell us is that just like Pharaoh, they're going to start off with things like, well, who is this God? I don't know this God. What do we do? How do we live? What am I supposed to do? Why do I have to listen to him? I'm not going to listen to him. I don't know who he is, what he is, or why he says he's going to do. You just do what I say and not as I do, right? Like all of our leadership today seems to be. They have their own rules and we're not part of it. I can remember a comedian once saying they've got a party going on and you ain't invited. Look at verse 15 of chapter 6. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now you present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. You see how the word slaves is still there? Well, how can I indeed be a slave? Well, you got to be owned by somebody. Does somebody own me? The answer is yes. The creator of the whole world is the owner of everything that exists. On top of that, he purchased me with the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. He purchased me to be his. Christ said, it's finished. It's paid. What's paid? The price to have me escape from the bondage of sin and death, just like the plagues in Egypt were a demonstration of God's judgment that the children of Israel did not experience, just like the world and the flesh and the devil is experiencing and will experience, and that we, God's people, will be taken in protection, care, and placed into the promised land. He purchased me. He purchased his people. the last angel, the angel of death, is what purchased the children of Israel from Egypt. That's what Scripture tells us it did, the first death of the firstborn. So all of these symbolized things and everything, if you look at it and say, now, wait a minute, I'm free. I ain't no slave. I'm not my slave to anybody. Nobody tells me what to do. What a liar. That's like saying, you know, I'm like living off grid. You know, people say, oh, we're going to go live off grid, man. I'm not going to have to worry about anybody. I'm not going to be dependent on anybody or anything. You know that's impossible, right? I can remember watching this thing when I was a kid. I thought it was so cool. This guy, they had this whole program, number of episodes of this guy who was going to live by himself out in the wilderness, built all his own stuff, right? Weaved his own clothes and made his own everything, you know. And they were talking about how he was living and how he was doing and what imagined thing that he did. We went inside his house and he showed how he built all this, you know, the chimney and did all the firewood and started a fire and how he made his clothes and tanned them and all this stuff. And then you looked on the wall on the shelf, you see all these canned goods. It's like, well, where did they come from? Oh, he gets a supply from town every month. That's living off the grid, right? You know what's impossible? It's impossible. Well, I can kind of do that when you're under the slavery of sin and death, then you're going to do things that make you think that you're the center of the universe, that you don't have to worry about reckoning with God. Then when it's ready for God, I'll let him know. God, I'll call you, don't you call me. And aren't we thankful that the Lord God, like the children of Israel, didn't stop when they were discouraged, upset, and they were downhearted because they couldn't see through the reality of what's really going on. In our life today, the Lord God is putting you through things that you don't understand, that comes from the world and the flesh and the devil, under the dominance of trying to get you back under the dominion of sin and death, to live according to the world, to make decisions based on their priorities, their own integrity, or their own theology, their own understanding of the world that's totally 180% away from 180 degrees, that's opposite, right? 360 around, yeah. Then what the Word of God says. So God tells his people, you don't belong here, I'm going to rescue you. And when you are rescued, you will be a slave to me, you will be under my obedience. The expectation is for you to be obedient. Well, what in the world does that mean to me? Look at Galatians 3:23. I gotta hurry. What good is the Ten Commandments then? What does it mean? Why do I have to worry about the Ten Commandments? Do we still have to worry about the Ten Commandments? Well, if you're a slave to God, the answer is what? Well, yeah. Now, do I keep the Ten Commandments in order to be acceptable to God? The answer is no. You keep the Ten Commandments because you are saved by God. And you are a slave now to obedience instead of unrighteousness. It makes sense? So that I no longer have to sin. I do not have to sin anymore. Matter of fact, I am free from the bondage of sin and death. I am not going to die anymore. Now my body's going to resume dead, and that's going to go back to dust, and one of these times we have a new body, but me is going to be me. and we will know each other because Scripture tells us that, we can recognize each other. Which is pretty exciting when you think about it. But look at verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law. You understand? That's what the children of Israel were experiencing. They were kept under the of the law, Pharaoh's law. Now, he's talking about God's law here, which is much more real than Pharaoh's, but that's the example. Which was later to be revealed. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ, so that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under the tutor, the law. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ. For all you who are baptized into Christ were clothed yourselves with Christ. Now listen to these next words, because I want to tell you, if you'll listen to me, that the very things Paul is saying here, that that we are like this now, means that the things that we were under is no longer available, or is no longer affecting us, okay? Our culture, our economic situation, our spiritual reliance. Now listen to what he says here. There is neither Greek or Jew nor Greek ethnicity. You realize that the Tower of Babel is a curse. Culture is a curse on mankind. And we lift it up. Man, lifts it up is something that we need to follow and we need to worship and to celebrate, right? Well, it's a curse. Look at it. But we hold culture up. Matter of fact, one of the most unbelievable things that I ever heard any Christian minister say is we need to redeem culture. Dear one, culture can't be redeemed. How would you want to redeem culture? It's a curse from God. Neither slave nor free man. There is no slave or free. In other words, there is not a distinction made now with it, but among one another. If you are a free man, you are free. You're God's freeman, as Paul calls it, if you're a slave. Under the thing, and slavery has always been, always will be. It's not going away. And if you don't believe you're a slave, if you've never been one, did you ever work for a corporation? You're a slave. Well, how do I know? Well, because if I don't do this, they're going to do this to me, so I'm going to do it. Well, hey, that's a slave. But what does the world say? Oh, we want you, you need to have this. This is what's going to make you, you salt all this money away so we can suck it out of the stock market and steal from you. Or the government with all this, making all this money that's eroding how much the money's worth, so it's effectively stealing money from you every time inflation goes up. I don't got to live under that. Well, but I got to have this, I got to have this, and I got to have this, and I got to have this. And you're listening to Pharaoh. Here's an, and this one is terribly misunderstood. There is neither male nor female. That doesn't mean a non-gendered person. That means that the burden has come from the sinfulness of you being a man or a woman from the fall. And there's no longer any more bondage like that. Do you wonder how come people are able to be healed psychologically and emotionally? It's because of the presence of the Holy Spirit that removes the bondage and the effect of whatever traumatized that was there as a broken man or a broken woman. Because you are no longer broken in Christ. You have been freed from that. So what's the issue? We are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. Now this is going to blow your mind, I hope. Abraham was not a Jew. there were no Jews when Abraham was born. There weren't no Jews. Does God look on you as a Jew or as a child of Abraham? What about both? As a child of God, as a Gentile, I'm a Gentile. And sometimes I really feel like a Gentile. But we have been engrafted into the domestic olive tree. We have the children of Israel and all nations, tribes, and tongues to Christ. We are one in Christ. All of the burdens of sin and death that kept us away from each other as Jews and Greeks, as rich or poor, as man or woman, the Lord Jesus Christ, because of his salvation in us, has removed those bondages from us. That's why we're supposed to be able to get along better than we do. Well, what's the problem that we have? Well, we're still listening to Pharaoh. So what's the real issue? What was the problem with the children of Israel? Back here, we looked at it down here at the end of chapter 6. So Moses spoke to them as the sons of Israel, but they did not listen to Moses on account of their despondency and their cruel bondage. So what's the issue? Let's look at John 8 as we close this morning. Beginning in verse 31. And I want you to hear this word, because this word has been totally corrupted, just like everything else in our society has been today. This word truth. Francis Schaeffer used to say there's true truth. Right? There's true truth. The issue is the truth. Just like Pharaoh. I don't know who this God is. I've never heard him before. I don't know what he's done. I don't got to listen to him. That ain't the truth. So Jesus, verse 31, was saying to... Now, this is again why just Scripture just... I just marvel at Scripture. What we just read about the children of Israel? Well, because of their despondency and their fear, they didn't believe what Moses said. Now listen to this. So Jesus was saying to the Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Well, what's the truth? There's no more Greek or Jew. There's no more rich or poor. There's no more male or female. The bondage of sin and death has been broken by Christ. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I can remember back about 7 years ago now, where I really started, and I asked the Lord God, and I've told you all this before, but it made such a big impact to me. I got to tell you again, I asked the Lord, Lord, please show me, I want you to really show me the things that are really going on. And he honored that prayer. And I, at the end of the research, became so angry and disappointed and depressed that, and I want you to hear, please, what I'm saying, because I am not exaggerating. Everything I was taught in school is a lie. History, science, medicine, it's all a lie. Because it's based on man, it's based on Pharaoh's knowledge, and not God's. You hear what I'm saying to you? Everything that is represented by Pharaoh is a lie. And we know that it's from Pharaoh because he tries to keep the truth from from being heard, a la all the censorship we see going on today, whether it's in Facebook or YouTube or Twitter or whatever it happens to be, when people are trying to get the truth out, they're being doxed, they're being canceled, they're being removed so nobody else can hear them. Well, what are they afraid of? The truth. And yet Christ says here that the truth is going to set me free. Well, why is everybody so angry with me? Well, children of Israel are asking exactly the same thing about the Pharaohs. What are you mad? Look, what are you mad at us for? You at least give us straw so we can make bricks. It's not our fault. And he's right. It wasn't their fault. It was God's fault. Now the question is, who are you following, dear one? The Pharisees or the Pharaoh, or are you following God? It is not going, following Pharaoh is not going to save you from making bricks. But why worry? You don't have to make bricks anymore. What else does this say? They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Well, they kind of skipped over about, 600 years of Israelite history. We're children of Abraham. Nobody's ever kept us enslaved. And they were under the slave of Rome right then. Talk about not getting it. Are you there? Do you not get it this morning? You not get it? Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son does remain forever. So if the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak the things that I have seen with my Father. Therefore, you also do the things which you heard from your father." They answered and they said to him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to him, "If Abraham were your father, if you're Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you're seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. Are you doing the deeds of your father?" They said to him, "We are not born of fornication. We have one father, God." And Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceed forth and have come from God, for I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Do you not understand what I'm saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. Are you of your father the devil? You are your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whoever speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature." Whenever he speaks a lie, "For he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them, because you are not of God." One of the reasons that I'm pushing so hard with you guys about reading Scripture is that way back under the inside, it's a desire for you to ask yourself, "Well, I'm just not interested in reading it every day." Well, why not? "I just haven't read the Bible through ever." Well, do you not love God? Do you not want to hear what he has to say? Well, that hurts. Well, of course, I'm Abraham's child. Really? You hear how important that is? That's the truth from the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the truth. Do you hear it? I'm going to ask you again this morning, are you still making bricks? Or are you getting up in the morning and making bricks? I've got to follow this Pharaoh's law. I've got to follow this Pharaoh's law. I've got to follow this Pharaoh. God's telling me to do the opposite, just like our economy is based on debt. And what they want you is under bondage. Get in as much debt as you can get in. And stay in it. As a matter of fact, the new saying is, by 1930, by 2030, we're not going to own anything, and we're going to like it. We're going to enjoy it. Because they're going to own everything. They just lease stuff to you. Do you own your phones now? I believe they're leased, aren't they? Are they leased, my stuff? The last equipment we got for the beauty shop, the phone. Having a hard time getting a phone. It works at the beauty shop, but from Verizon. But it's leased. We don't own it. It's leased. Your house. You think you own your house? Well, quit paying property tax and see what happens to your house. You understand? Are you free? Children of Israel didn't understand it. The disciples who believed Christ didn't understand it. Let me ask you this morning, do you understand that? Are you free? Are you out from under the bondage of sin and death in your life? You're seeking and listening to the truth and want to know what the truth is? Because, buddy, when I found out, I wish I'd never asked. I don't want to know what the truth is. What was that movie that was so popular years ago that said all he wanted was the truth, and the guy, I think it was Jack Nicholson, said, well, you can't handle the truth? Only God is the savior of your soul. Only God can set you free. And make no mistake about it, when you are free, you are not free to do what you want. You are now free to do what God wants. And that's a big difference. I would much rather you be accused of making righteous bricks instead of unrighteous bricks. That you're following the law because of the love of Christ. For Christ said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And you can't do it without his power, without his presence. So, dear one, what bondage are you under? Are you under the bondage of Pharaoh, or are you under the bondage of Christ? Are you under the bondage of the devil, or are you under the bondage of Christ? Are you under the bondage of the world, or are you under the bondage of Christ? Are you under the bondage of your own sinfulness, or under the bondage of Christ? Because all of those things can be healed. For Christ said, you will be free, and you'll be free indeed from the bondage of sin and death. Let's pray. Father, we bow to you this morning as your people. We love you, Father, because you first loved us. Even as we've just read, Lord Jesus, you came. Though you love us, you didn't come because you love us. You came as obedient to your Father. Lord God, may we in our childish hearts look to you this morning with the recognition that you are our God, that you know what's best, that you are doing and how you're doing it, and that you have told us the truth about what you're doing, what you have done, and what you're going to do. May we look to you with thanksgiving and praise, with expectation and hope, with the reality that you are our God, that you love us with an everlasting love, that nothing will separate us from the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are to be one together through the power of your Spirit. Father, be with us. Forgive us of our childishness, our sinfulness. Forgive us. Forgive me, Father, of my own unrighteous heart from time to time. And we pray, Lord God, as you continue to build us together in you. And I pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Dear one, let's conclude our time together this morning, and let's stand and sing, Shine Thou Upon Us, Lord, hymn number 411.
Thank you.
Please stay, fellowship, and eat. Receive now the benediction of the Lord God. Now, the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you with every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Hugs and kisses all around.